The magnificence of the Transfiguration points to who we will become in Jesus Christ and the power of his glorious resurrection that we celebrate at the end of Lent and Easter. When we look at this account, how it began and how our Lenten journey should follow, to see a key for us in journeying through our Lent to Jerusalem with Jesus. Luke says early in that gospel passage that Jesus prayed. It says he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, his face was changed in appearance. See, Jesus is living out the deep relationship he has with the Father and showing to his disciples, as well as to you and to me, this powerful example. And we know that prayer, fasting, and almsgiving are the three major tools and weapons we have for our Lenten journey. And St. Pope John Paul II had said, prayer can truly change your life, for it turns your attention away from yourself and directs your mind and your heart toward the Lord. If we look only at ourselves and with our limitations and sins, we quickly give away to sadness and discouragement. But if we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, then our hearts are filled with hope. Our minds are washed in the light of truth, and we come to know the fullness of the gospel with all of its promises and life. End quote. See, prayer is the foundation for our daily transfiguration experience that God wants us to have. And it's culminated, finds its summit right here where we are right now, in the Mass, the highest form of prayer, where we receive God's word into our being. We hear it proclaimed, the word of God, which has the power in itself to heal and transform us. And where in Holy Communion, we are about to receive the Lord in his fullness, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our very bodies. In our Philippians reading, St. Paul declared, we are citizens of heaven. Yes, we're here on earth right now, but that's not where we truly belong. And the Transfiguration gives an image and gives us a clue that this is where our citizenship is in heaven. And he said, Jesus will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him to also bring all things into subjection to himself. He's revealing his glory to show that he is the Almighty One in our midst to bring us with him into glory, into pure and deep relationship with the Father, restored all unity of creation back to the Father. So it's through this mystery of this transfiguration in the presence of Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets, the fullness of God's communication and care for his people, that he wanted to show the apostles ahead of time the glory of his resurrection. They would need this to undergo the trials and difficulties of his passion and cross, of their friend and master, that they would witness this. Then approached before them a cloud. And it says initially that they were frightened. You know, when the glory of the Lord comes, you know, in the account of Abram in the first reading, it says, this darkness enveloped him before God appeared in the flaming pot. See, when the presence of God comes in power, darkness has to flee. Sometimes we can feel it. We can see it like brushing past us. And we're like, ooh, little shudder. What was that? But it, as John Paul II said, be not afraid. The glory of the Lord is about to come. So let darkness flee and have its place in flight. So as in the cloud, they recognized God's presence. Because in the Exodus, God led them to the column of cloud during the day. He went ahead of them. You could say, parting the darkness ahead of them to show them the way to the promised land. So they recognized God in the cloud. And here we are today, here at Mass, where heaven and earth come together. We offer this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. And the angels fill the place. We sing the holy, holy, holy. Just like the angels and saints do constantly before the throne of God. His glory is poured out on earth at every Mass. And here we are, sitting here just like Peter, John, and James. So what is our reaction? Are we barely awake? Are we amazed that we are here? Or overwhelmed to the point of wanting to set up tents around the perimeter so we can stay here? The glory of the Lord revealed to drive out the darkness ahead of us as we journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. And then the voice in the cloud said, "This is my Son, the chosen one. Listen to him." This is the key for us, to be disciples, to follow him in that journey to Jerusalem, whatever it may entail for us. We must listen to him intently. As Jesus would say later, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it just becomes and remains a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it brings forth great fruit, abundant life. The suffering death of Jesus are the seeds of new life for all of us, that we may be glorified with him. And after the voice had spoken, they found themselves with Jesus alone, the seemingly ordinary Jesus that they had come to know. And it's like, whew, wow, what was that we just experienced? It said they were so overwhelmed that they were silent. They were dumbfounded over it. Such is our reaction properly when the glory of God comes down upon us, when we receive him in his word and in the Holy Eucharist. We are being transformed in his image and likeness more and more. So the transfiguration takes place in the context of prayer. For the apostles, this was a powerful mystical experience. It's an encounter with the divine that is briefly experienced and given to you and me that we may be transfigured. See, this experience that they witnessed was not just so they could see, oh yes, I remember this happened for Jesus. He was showing, no, this is to happen to you and to me as his disciples, his loved ones, his chosen ones, so that we can hear that voice of God speaking to us. You are my son. You are my daughter. I choose you to be my witnesses, to be my glory to those that I will send you. This is what God wants to do with you and me. He will bring people to us so that we may impart his light, his truth to them, that they may see his glory in you and me. Let us allow the light and healing presence of Christ to shine brightly through our lives today and through the rest of Lent and into Easter. In that way, all those that come in contact with us will discover the loving, merciful kindness of God.